plans. And she's right, you know, you just have.
It's, don't even start it. It's 6:30. Call the judiciary law, Wednesday, February 12th. Call the judiciary law enforcement meeting in order.
Ron Esposito.
Here.
Ron Johnson.
Here.
Boyd Frederick.
Here.
David Arrington. David Arrington. Anita Johnson. Anita Johnson. Angelina Montemurro.
Here.
Doug Noble.
Here.
Nicole Hyatt. Nicole Hyatt.
She told us last time she wasn't coming.
She was going to be here. We got a call.
And Michael Baroglio.
Here.
6:31, citizens' comments. Citizens wishing to speak, 5 minutes, please step up to the front of the table, state your name and address for the record, citizens' comments. None citizens are closed. 6:31, supervisor comments. Any supervisors have any comments at this time?
Well, with regards to the minutes, I can, there's two things in here on the minutes that said, one is Noble asked if a longer period of time could be used to determine recidivism, and the sheriff will get back, get this information if possible. And then the use of government, Hyatt asked if there is any personalization of the program, or if programs and steps are standard. Ms. Otis replied, possibly she would find out. So I was wondering if we had answers to those two questions.
Okay. Got that. We'll come through. Thank you. Supervisor, any other supervisors? 6:32, chairman comments. I have none at this time. If that may have approval of the January 8th, 2014, and January 21st, 2014 minutes.
Approval of both minutes.
Second.
First by Supervisor Boyd Frederick, second by Supervisor Doug Noble. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So approved. Thank you. 6:33, front of the table, resolution from Administrative Service Division of the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, Bureau of Emergency Management. 2014 public/private collaboration workshop grant. Lieutenant Bennett, I guess. Seat up here, please.
I'm here today to present a resolution.
Appreciate that.
For acceptance of the Homeland Security Public-Private Collaboration Workshop Grant, in a total of $2,220. As you know, the public-private partnership has been going pretty strong here in Kenosha, well, since the expiration of the original grant. And in fact, it's gone so well that they actually reached out to us and said these grant monies were available, and they'd like us to participate. There were only four towns asked to participate in this grant, and we were asked to be involved. So it's a great program. It involves business, public and private, together about preparedness, preparedness for business, preparedness for public entities in disasters, weather emergencies. And we ask that the board accept this monies to be used on this.
Is this like a new grant, or is this something?
This is a new one that they're.
I've never seen it. That's why I asked. I called Donna today.
Occasionally, they come up with some monies available to promote these public-private partnerships, where we bring public entities and private business together to exchange information, talk about preparedness, planning for their business, for any eventuality, for severe weather problems, tornado watches, anything that might occur. They're collaboration meetings, not trainings. And the private sector loves them. They get to interact with the public sector, firemen, the cops. And it's just a good situation that's really took hold here in Kenosha County. I'd like to see it continue, and this kind of helps foster that.
Any supervisor?
So could you expand a little bit? What type of meeting, you plan on having meetings, and what are you kind of meetings to have?
Sure. Right now, this is, our public-private partnership is an entity and agency that's continues throughout the year, except for the summertime. We hold trainings every, let's say, through the winter months, we hold a training a month, and they're invited to come free of charge on a topic. In fact, we just had one today where Sergeant Weicker did a presentation on bomb threats in the bomb unit, and it was very well received. They bring forward a lot of interesting information on how their businesses and how public agencies can prepare if they do get a bomb threat, what they should be doing, how they should be planning ahead of time, and what to do if they do get a threat. That's just an instance. Before that, we had a presentation on tactical situations. In particular, this grant is a little more than the two-hour training we hold once a month. It's an actual workshop that'll last probably about four to five hours, and it involves how businesses will deal with power outages. So we'll be bringing in an expert from WEM, a Madison facilitator, who will come in and conduct the exercise and go through possible scenarios and their plans, how they will plan for a power outage in the event their businesses lose power, and how they'll cope with that. So that's what this particular workshop is for. It's a little more of an expansive training, whereas our usual monthly trainings are about an hour to 2 hour involving a lunch. This one's about 6 hours. And of course, there's costs that goes along with that, lunch, things like that.
Anything else, Supervisor Noble?
No, that's what I was wondering. If you're planning a specific six-hour training session for this morning?
Absolutely.
Okay, fine.
Mike, you have a question?
So just to be clear, sir, is this kind of like an ongoing workshop that would be like monthly?
This is an expanded version of those trainings. So the workshop's a little longer, a little more involved. It goes over it helps the individual businesses actually talk about their plans and how to improve upon them. The actual public-private partnership goes into a variety of different topics throughout the year. They can range, like I said, anything from law enforcement to how to deal with severe weather events, law enforcement issues, anything that might affect the public or any private business.
Sure. So, I mean, as far as like the $2,200 goes, I mean, this doesn't seem like, you know, a whole lot to expand like a program, but I mean, how far could something like that go as far as the workshops go?
Well, it would be great to do more, but this money, most of the training, of course, the consultant from Madison is free, so there's no cost there. Most of the expenses come from materials, printings, handouts.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Break it down for me. What are we using this $2,200 for, you know?
Yeah. And then, again, these are rough numbers, but $1,320 for materials, printings, handouts. We usually like to hand out some informational, instructional materials that come in binder form. They come with, they have to be ordered, and they can be costly when you talk about printing, of course, as you know. We figured allow us only $10 a head for lunch, so our maximum is about 50 people, so we're hoping to get that for $500, and advertising about $400. So roughly that brings us to $2,220. And of course, there's no tax levy involved here, there's no personnel costs. We have to follow the grant guidelines, and any unused monies have to be returned back.
Anything else, Mike?
No.
Supervisor Mark Brown?
I just want to compliment you that you were picked. One, only four, that's great. It's good information, comes from the state and prepares us. So
well, we were happy with it. And I don't want to take credit for it because this started before I came to the office, but it's been so successful. I got to keep it going. It benefits, like I say, both the businesses and the public and just the other law enforcement fire entities.
Well, I guess in my mind, we've had more severe weather
in the issue
the last 24 months, I would think, than the last decade.
Yeah.
It seems that way anyways, everywhere.
And the propane issue was brought up.
Yeah, exactly.
The way one of the applicants put it, he says, the meetings are worth it just so I can sit down and talk to other business people and public officials and collaborate and network.
Terrific, sure.
To them, a two-hour time frame is great. That's why it's been going so long.
Any other supervisors have any other questions? Lieutenant Dunn? Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second. Move to approve by Supervisor Angie Montemaro, second by Supervisor Boyd. For those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No. For us to sign.
Thank you, Lieutenant Dunn.
Thank you, sir.
Moving on, 641.
Excuse me, it's not stapled, so we're going to. You want all four to come
Is that the original one that they just gave you?
Yeah.
Yeah, just trying to keep it together. I don't have a stapler.
Okay.
You have one over there, maybe?
See if I can find one on the desk.
Yeah.
Let's do probation or renewable.
We'll take a break.
Sorry, also, we don't have our signatures. It's on the other page, so, okay, got it.
Should be a stapler.
So this would just be like a renewal?
No, what happens is...
I don't want to lose it all the way.
Oh, so they're new up and running. This is that one that came out a few months ago.
That's what I'm...
Okay, never mind.
That regular... How'd they get a regular one? Probation is gonna be...
Yeah, that makes sense. Because we're not the probation.
Right, I didn't mean to...
I just figured we'd lose it.
Little better, getting better.
All right, it's 6:42, moving on. We have two resolutions from the county, North County Sheriff's Department. Cabaret license for Kickstand Bar and Grill. Start with that one, I guess, Captain.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I have two relatively routine annual cabarets for the Kickstand Bar, one for Out of the Park Entertainment, which is previously under name Players Park South, which is also the name they do business as, but there's a new group of owners there. Both of them have just completed their six-month probationary cabarets with no incidents or problems. They've been around both establishments for quite some time. The only reason they had to redo it is because we've kind of set down the rules on applying late, which applied to the Kickstand Bar. They were late to renew, so they had to go through the process. And because Out of the Park Entertainment is a new group of owners at the old Players Park South establishment, we made them also go through the probationary period, get inspected and given all the new rules, etc. I have no reports of any instances in the last 6 months, and I see no reason why I can't continue where I granted a cabaret to do their business.
Any questions? Captain Wink. Supervisor Noble.
Do we happen to know if either one of these places have actually used the cabaret license during the probationary period, had any entertainment that required a cabaret license?
No, I don't have record of any of that. They do have it available, obviously, when they get their probationary license to have those things. But I don't have any checks on any times that they've done anything with the cabaret. But the cabaret can be as much as running a jukebox inside your establishment or having a band or something to that effect. So
karaoke, would that apply?
Yeah, exactly. So it wouldn't exactly be something that we might be there to check up on, but
a jukebox requires a cabaret.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Any noise, any music, etc. So but we haven't had any problems resulting from the use of the cabaret, if that helps.
Well, now that I know a jukebox qualifies, probably every bar has one of those.
But that's it. They're both establishments have been around for quite some time, so.
Anything else, Supervisor Noble?
No.
I just wanted to clarify.
Just excuse me one minute, please. Chief Deputy, you got us up?
I was listening to the jukebox question. What was it? I don't believe a karaoke applies to a jukebox.
Karaoke?
No, cabaret.
Sorry, cabaret, I mean.
Anita.
There's two resolutions.
If it's included with the dancing.
Is it for both of them?
I see. All right, thank you.
It has to be dancing involved.
Okay.
But obviously...
Karaoke does require one.
Yeah, these were establishments that had one, some issues with timing with one, new ownership with the other.
Correct.
We had them both through the process. We haven't had any issues. And now they're before us. Cabaret.
That's correct.
In a nutshell.
Yes.
Again, any other supervisors got any questions for Captain Wanker? If not, may I have a motion to approve? We'll do one at a time. Motion to approve the cabaret license for Kickstand Bar and Grill.
Second.
First by Supervisor Johnson, second by Supervisor Frederick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Next, can I have a motion to approve cabaret license for the Out of the Park Entertainment?
Second.
Motion approved by Supervisor Johnson, seconded by Supervisor Montemaro. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving on, we have 646, 2014 Equipment Grant Award, Scott's Department of Military Affairs, Homeland Security, for the Sheriff's Bomb Squad. Captain Apgar, welcome.
Chairman, members of the committee, this is a resolution, I'm thinking about cabaret, resolution for the Sheriff's Department through the Bomb Squad to obtain some money from Homeland Security for the Bomb Squad, purchase a piece of equipment. It comes basically with no attachments, there's no matching funds that are required. Asking increase the budget by that amount and then increase the revenue by the same amount, so it has no effect on the tax levy or the budget.
Any questions for Captain Apgar? So we're basically buying equipment with this?
Yes.
It's that tech gridding and kit, right?
Yes.
Can you explain what that is? I don't need to go into.
Sergeant Weicker's here from the Bomb Squad, so he can explain that for you if you'd like.
Captain Weicker, can you explain to me?
Sergeant Weicker.
His name's got Apgar.
Isn't there one that's a captain? Same last name?
Your faces change, the names are the same.
Isn't
there? I have to actually bring a handout of what the actual equipment is for you folks to pass around and take a look at. What this precision aiming kit is designed to do is it allows us to better enhance our abilities to specifically target a component inside a suspicious package. As you can see in the little handout that I gave you, in the upper left-hand corner is an actual picture of an X-ray. Now, if we can take pictures of that particular suspicious package and get a picture similar to this. And what this aiming kit does, it enhances our ability to specifically target a component inside this package and better precision take it out with less damage and less effect to causing damage outside of the package area. So
and Sergeant,
it also helps us preserve evidence.
Sure. What's the shelf life on these things? Obviously, you don't need one every year or.
No. There's a shelf. This will last as long as we maintain it and keep.
Unless a bomb blows up or something, right?
Well, that's always possible. Losing some equipment that way.
Well, I'm just asking that because I'm sure that's going to be something that might be asked.
This
right.
is done from a distance. Just so okay. you know, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Supervisor Noble.
All right. I saw this in the package and I wasn't getting it, and I'm not positive. I'm starting. So the middle picture is a. Kind of like a broad picture of it, and the bottom one is targeted on the
yes,
the battery
yes,
itself.
Exactly.
Where is the battery in the big picture? I don't even see it.
I would have to look closely at that. It looks like it's in the lower left-hand corner or the lower right-hand corner next to the mousetrap there. I really confused you. Over and
out. What you get.
It's either here or here.
Yes, correct.
Last time I checked.
Right. And with this particular device here, we could specifically aim at the outside of the package without actually opening the package and specifically take out that part of the component of the package on the inside.
And just look at it. You can't shoot at it or you
no,
can
we,
just look
we would
at
shoot
it.
At it and
oh,
destroy
shoot
it.
At
yeah,
it.
We would actually take it apart.
Okay.
I have actually had the opportunity to train with this particular equipment at my last recertification down in Alabama, and I physically took out a 9-volt battery suspended at a 55-gallon drum from a distance of about 18 inches away.
So, okay. Now I think yeah. I'm getting it.
I had to Google
excuse
it.
Me. Anything else, Supervisor Norton? Supervisor Johnson?
I had to Google because I didn't know what it was. But Captain mentioned distance. How far away can you do it from?
Well, what we would do is we would end up setting up our disruption shot from anywhere from 2 inches to 18 inches away. But we would actually set off the disruption or fire our shot from a safe distance away of over 300 yards, if need be, from the much safer distance away. So we don't actually have anyone physically over the top of the device when it goes off.
Sure.
So we're at a safe distance, yeah.
And Sergeant, do we have one of these now?
No, we do
obviously
not.
Obviously not, right?
No, we're not. Yeah.
Okay, so it's yes. adding to the arsenal of things we do have.
Correct. It, like I said, it assists us in taking more precision shots. Right now, we could take a picture of this and obtain this type of image, mm-hmm. but setting up our disruptor without this device, we're kind of taking more or less a blind shot into a package because we're just guessing where those components would be inside this package.
And now, obviously, we had to apply for this grant.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that other counties have applied for too?
Or? Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, there's actually there's six bomb squads in the state, and three of us are actually going to obtain this equipment this year. And then the other three apply for it next year.
Cool.
So.
Any other supervisors have any questions for Sergeant Weikert or Captain Hepner?
Thank you.
With that, we have a move to approve by Supervisor Montemaro, seconded by Supervisor Nita Johnson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That passes. So, screen keeps going here. 52. We have a memo from Captain Apcar and the Sheriff's Department authorizing the sale of 2010 Ford Crown Victoria to Gateway Technical College. Captain Apcar.
This vehicle is part of the fleet that we switched over with the Taurus that we bought in 2012. So this is one of the units. I think it's one of 15. Sent 14 off the auction, and this was one that Gateway had picked out. They have, on occasion, bought one of our old squads prior to us sending them out to auction at a fair market value of what the auction would bring. We ran the price through purchasing and came up with a fair market price of $4,500. The history of the cars that, or the other 14, got right around $4,000, between $4,000 and $4,500 for them, and then we pay an auction fee. So this is a fair deal for Gateway and the county. They're getting a decent vehicle, but it's not any vehicle that we wouldn't, it was scheduled to go to auction.
And how many miles were on this vehicle? I don't know, I'm not asking it for the 10th, but yeah,
85,000.
85,000? All right, now, here's my question, and I talked with Chief Deputy before the meeting. I had gotten an email from Supervisor Rose. Can you just speak to that a little bit? I mean, if you, I don't know if everybody else got this email, you open it up and you got the NADA of this Crown Vic at $8,000, $9,000. I mean, I guess in my mind, a police vehicle is different than a private parking vehicle, that's different than a vehicle on a dealer's lot.
Right.
So, you know, can you just...
Nancy printed out exactly what the cars brought in auction.
Okay.
The ones that were going with this one. Okay. The one that this one would have gone with. And they were, and I left it in the car.
That's fine.
They range anywhere from... I want to get a similar one because we have 8s, 9s, and 10s. A 10 with... 100,000 miles, brought 48 minus the 456 auction fee. 2010 with 117 brought 49 with $456 auction fee. 2010 with 112 on it brought 48 minus 456. Another one brought 52 minus 494. And that had 98,000 miles on it.
Okay.
So this is in the neighborhood
sure, of
what it is.
And I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying there's some supervisors that have an issue, and I'd like to discuss the issue in our committee before it gets to the county board floor,
sure, because
I'm sure it's going to be an issue there.
And this price was determined prior to us knowing exactly what we were going to get for auction. We went on past auction prices that purchasing supplied us.
Okay. But I'm to assume that a police vehicle is different than a private party vehicle. Correct? I mean, there's different components that's in this vehicle?
It's got a vinyl back seat on it. It doesn't have a bench front seat. It doesn't have a console in the
middle. Yeah, because it was used for police operation, basically.
And I think we even sent those back with cages in them because
they
were no value to us anymore.
Right. Chief Deputy, you got something to add?
Just to add with Captain Apple, talking about these vehicles that we drive, they're driven very hard. They're driven through all sorts of situations that a normal car, privately owned vehicle, would not go through. That's why we rotate a third of the fleet every every 3 years because they are driven so hard. And because they're hard-driven and they go through a lot of things, the braking, the rear ends, everything else, by the time they're 4 and 5 years old, which we used to keep them, we were replacing the rear ends and transmissions and everything else. So not a car that you would sell to them. I owned it as a private citizen and got $8,000 or $9,000. And we've never gotten that much at an auction sale for one of our cars. Although our cars are considered in very good shape, better than most of the cars that go to auction. Auction usually is to taxi cab companies or to private security entities. They like that police look. It has no carpeting in it. It has no frills. It's just a basic police package with a lot of holes in it because we drill things in it.
Well, that's what I meant, yeah.
For equipment and things like that. And Gateway wanted it because they want to use it for their law enforcement training program. So we're trying to be fair to the school, which we send our recruits to. We're not trying to make a big profit on that. We're just trying to live with everything we know.
Seems understandable. Supervisor Johnson.
I wanted to say, too, I did a little digging, and most governments actually auction off their vehicles. And when you go to an auction, you can't necessarily expect a blue book price. They're more wholesale prices that you get at auctions. It's for the ease. They don't want to spend or invest a lot of time in getting rid of used things when there's not going to be a big return in it. Also, too, I mean, we're giving it to Gateway. Going it to Gateway. I mean, I don't think we want to try to make a profit off.
I understand. I just want to make sure that
I know you do.
Talked about and vetted at this level in case it gets any farther.
Absolutely. I read it, too, and that's why I did a little digging.
Supervisor, mm-hmm.
Is this a unmarked squad, or is it a fully laid out with a fully, you know, functional squad car?
This is a plain car because it's a repaired car.
It's what?
It was a repaired car.
What does that mean?
It was a damaged car before it was sent to fleet, or before it was scheduled to go to auction, it was damaged. So we had it repaired, so it was repainted. And it looks very good.
Oh, but I mean, does it have like the lights on top and all that? It's like an unmarked.
It's a perfectly white car, clean, no push bumper on.
Uh-huh. So it's more of an unmarked car.
Now it is. It wasn't marked one time.
Oh, it was. Okay.
It was, yes.
Okay.
Before it went to the fence.
Okay.
I can see how you can't sell that.
So how are they going to use it if it doesn't have all the lights?
They'll put their own light bar on it.
Oh, they'll do that.
Supervisor.
What? Like Supervisor Johnson said, into Gateway, and where Gateway helps train. So, plus, you just told us why it's not worth what the blue book is. It went through a fence. So, this is a non-issue.
Well, and my point is,
here's
what I want everybody to understand. A police cruiser is not the same as Grandpa Jim's Crown Vic that's sitting in the garage.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? usually, they don't come vinyl floors, they don't come with, you know what I mean, it's a work vehicle, you know what I mean, so
I wanted to document that.
I'm glad Gateway.
Yeah, I don't, anybody other have any other questions, Captain Apgar, on this 2010 Crown Vic?
Motion to approve.
Second.
With that, I have a motion to approve by Supervisor Boyd Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Anita Johnson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Captain Apgar. I'd like to, real quick, it's 6, 7 o'clock. I'd like to bring up this. Nancy, can we talk about this question that Supervisor Noble brought up in regards to the minutes last meeting? I don't know if you had a chance to look at this when we talked about A. We asked if there would be a longer period of time could you determine recidivism, and we replied that Ms. Hyatt from Youth and Governments asked if there's any personalization of this program or if the program and steps are standard. Can you, we were talking about...
I do have some responses to that. I have gotten them all together.
Okay.
I'm going to send an email to you as a committee. On those responses,
I remember you saying that,
Sarah Carpenter, the manager for our Southeast Region program, she was out for a couple of weeks and so wasn't available, but she did give me some clarification on things. I believe it's the Hope Council, that's one of the agencies that is involved in this program. And the Hope Council, the client pays them for the services Hope Council provides. And it's a program that Hope Council would put together for that individual. They would do a, like a alcohol assessment, and I think there's a Department of Transportation, a driving assessment or something like that that they go through, and that develops a program for the individual to go through. I don't think it's exactly the same for every person, probably depending what, whether it's their second, third, or fourth offense, that sort of thing. But I do have some responses for that. I'll try to put it out in email with your questions and then respond.
The other one you were going to check with some lady.
Probably dirt her.
You don't mention her name. At the, you said that the director of WCS would be speaking at the finance meeting and she could answer the question better, which was recidivism over, you were only tracking it within that year that you were working, mm-hmm. as opposed to checking to see if any of these people were repeating from previous years. You were going to see if she had that information?
Right. I don't know if she does, but she did give a response for that. She was not able to come to finance meeting.
Oh.
I think she was ill then, so she didn't appear then either. So it was the following day that I think I sent her an email. It was a few days later I got a response. But I'll try to get something out to you in a day or two that should answer the questions. That...
Okay. Mike, we get some.
Sorry, I know you get a lot of questions. It's probably going on in your head. But regarding the HOPE program, I'm just curious, like, as far as the program that they put together, does any of it include, like, any sort of, like, substance abuse therapy or psychotherapy?
Yes, they could be inpatient or outpatient in facilities. That's another possibility for the individual. I'm not sure what agencies they put them out to, but that's absolutely.
But they are
alcohol and
they drugs. Are responsible for their own costs.
Yes, they are. Yes, correct.
Anything else, Mike?
Do you mind me actually helping them out? What goes out at the Hope Council is basically an assessment, and however what the situation is depends on where they go. Since I happen to live with someone on the board, I've sort of figured out things. That's how I know so much about what they do over
sure.
there.
Sure. Oh. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Anything else? Thank you, Nancy.
Okay.
If you can get that to us, I'd appreciate it. You know, that'd be good. Supervisor, thanks for bringing that to our attention so we can get that answer we need. It's
the assessments.
And then 704, any other business law by law? I've done that. 704, motion.
Move to adjourn.
First by Supervisor Gates Johnson, Supervisor Ron Johnson, all those in favor?
Aye.
There's like the next turn.
Thank you.
Ron, you put your
hand
up. These are all the bad things that happen with drinking. But it's like some people.
Yes, these
people.
Situation.
Yeah.
Their
intestine's going to move. Really? Yeah. Just, yeah, just do you have
one or two?
Four.
Yeah.
Four.
Wow.
No, it's okay. Yeah, it does. They're involved.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah? Oh, okay.
Okay.
I know.
I'm just looking at this. Okay, this is David Eric. You got everybody on here that's here. And I put in this finance.
I've heard you talk about your daughter's
private.
Son.
So
kind of that last one had no place for A or
M here. Yeah.
Just signature.
Right, that memo. That's because I think it's just a memo. It's not going to go to any board.
Yeah. You got what you did.
Yes, I think it's just because it's a memo.
Okay, so have you got everything?
And there's one more grant.
Here's one
more.
Oh, sure. Yeah, my dad goes every Wednesday.